Very good. Thank you. We're about 20 minutes ahead of schedule, just to sort of give you a status update on how we're doing so far. So we'll assess as to whether or not we will move the break up, but we will be moving on to the next item, which will be we have a presiding judge David Wesley from Los Angeles, who is a co-chair of the realignment subcommittee, as well as David Yamasaki from Santa Clara, the co-chair, and Patrick Ballard, his staff from Fiscal Services Office, to discuss this issue. The other lead staff, Shelley Kern, is not available today, but we trust that we can answer any of your questions from the three presenters today. This is, I won't steal any of their thunder, so I'll just turn it over to Judge Wesley. He can say it much more articulately than I can.
So there's some new people here. So let me, what I'll do is take you through a little bit of history of this, and then we'll tell you what our recommendation is. So realignment became effective October 1st, 2011. We've been dealing with this problem for a while. When it first became effective, what we were dealing with was post-release community supervision people and not parole people, because parole hadn't been dropped on us yet. And so there was a pot of money given to the courts. It was about $17 million given to the courts, $17,689, to provide a setup for the courts to start taking on the function of doing parole hearings. The parole hearings weren't coming until July of 2012. So we created the Trial Court Budget Working Group, created a subcommittee to track this and figure out how we were going to distribute this money. We didn't have any figures other than those provided by the Department of Corrections when we started, so we used the projections from the Department of Corrections for the number of hearings that they were doing to do our funding. And that was adopted by the committee, so that money was distributed starting in 2012 based on that. The issues presented to the committee back then were, should unspent funding be reallocated to the courts if they don't spend it, or should they keep it? Should unspent funding be reallocated to all courts, or on what basis? And then issues to funding for the following year of any remaining amounts. So we adopted a procedure and knew that we would have to come up, and one of the tasks that was given to us is really figure out a funding methodology. And we didn't really have a funding methodology because it was a moving target. In July of last year, we started to get the parole hearings. So now we were getting the post-conviction, post-release community supervision and the parole hearings. And we didn't have a full year's figure of either one. And so the last time we were before the Trial Court Budget Working Group, some courts said, well, we didn't get any money, and we ended up getting hearings that we weren't expecting to get. So the committee funded those courts in an amount that from our reserve that we had held over. At any rate, what's left is there's $130,000 left in the reserve, and there's money for the second half of the year being left to be distributed. And we were asked, how do you want to distribute that? What's the formula that you want to use? And so we've been meeting on that. And David, you want to tell them what we've decided?
Yes, thank you, Judge Wesley. As Judge Wesley had indicated, the information that we're having to work with is really extremely fluid in terms of the volume and the manner in which the cases that are coming in. And as he indicated, a big change that took effect was July of 13, where the parole cases started coming in. And so the action of this body, as well as the council, was to allocate the money basically in two portions, 50% at the beginning of the year with a process to evaluate how workload was coming in to determine if there should be any adjustments. The workload came in at differing paces. So again, the whole process is extremely fluid. And so our subcommittee came up with essentially three recommendations for you to consider. The first is for the allocation of the second portion of the money The money, unfortunately, is fixed for this year. It's not going up, and there's no indication that it is going up, but it's roughly a little bit over $9 million. So the proposal is to allocate the remaining portion to the deferring courts that includes the post-release community supervision cases, which are the PRCS, parole, and workload that is measured as petitions to revoke, modify the PRCS parole cases. The reason for that is that many of the courts have been budgeting in a manner that is consistent with past practice. So to make a significant alteration in the funding formula, we felt it would be problematic. Clearly, it's something that we're going to have to look at going forward. But at this point, the recommendation is to take those criteria and allocate or recommend the allocation of the money in accordance with what's described in Table 1. There are some adjustments in following that form, with some courts getting perhaps a little bit more money and some courts getting a little bit less. But it is consistent with the idea of associating funding with the workload that is associated with this case. So recommendation one is outlined. I don't know if you want to take action on that independently and then moving forward, or if, Judge Rule, you'd like to hear all of the recommendations at the same time.
And let me clarify just one thing on the first recommendation. This is for this year only. What we're saying is we're going to use a combination of the population and the number of petitions filed this year only. We don't have a full year's petitions on the parole yet, but we will next year. And so the idea is to use that method this year and then next year adopt workload allocation funding methodology, just like we're using for everything else. And the committee will be tasked then with identifying what's workload.
Right.
That's what we really want to do. So we want to be able to distribute this money this year. And the model that we thought was fairest was a combination of the population and the number of petitions filed. Next year we'll have statistics on all of the petitions, and we'll be able to actually identify what's a workload. We'll also identify what's a petition for you, because among the discussions we had were they also changed 1203.9, and so now we're getting referrals from other counties coming in, and they're not picked up anywhere. And so we're probably going to have to pick those up as a petition so that you know that when you get a new case sent to you from another county for a violation, that you're going to get it's going to be counted in your funding.
And a slight nuance with respect to the counting of these cases is that as we started to look at the forms in which these cases were arriving at our doorsteps, they were coming in both in the manner of formal petitions but also referrals. Many of these cases are treated identically, but the fact that there wasn't a formal petition filed would have been disadvantageous to courts who were receiving the work but perhaps not being recognized for those cases. So this is a time for us to be able to go back, provide some workload measurements that everybody understands, and adjust in such a way that for next fiscal year and beyond, we'll be able to count the cases and receive credit in the same way.
Why don't we hear all of the recommendations before we invite discussion?
Okay. The second issue, it relates to the point that I just made, and that's to associate funding with realignment with specific workload measurements. And so that is one of the approaches that we are recommending. The information would be collected by the CJCSO, and all of the courts would be required to report the information so that obviously we're comparing apples to apples. So that's just contained under recommendation two. The other aspect is relates to monies that may be available at the end of the year as a result of the allocation. Our recommendation is to allow that money to remain with each court rather than suggesting that that money be returned. A lot of the things will take time to ramp up and to alter whatever spending plans exist, be it in the form of, you know, technology or processes. Our recommendation is to leave the remaining funds with each court, however we each court finishes the year. And the last one has to do with an allocation that would not expend the entire $9+ million, but leave a small contingency of a reserve. As Judge Wesley indicated, last year there were a couple of courts that ended up seeing cases that they didn't anticipate, and the availability of that reserve allowed those courts to receive some supplemental funding to address whatever workload was associated with receiving those cases. So in all, there are three recommendations, and I'll defer to Judge Wesley if there are any more.
The amount in reserve left was 130, as you can see, $130,450. Our recommendation is that stay there because we anticipate there will be some courts and get cases they weren't counting on, and we'll be able to help them out.
Questions, discussions on the issues presented for us today?
Laura?
Cherry?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Judge Wesley. I was going to make a motion.
Go ahead.
Oh, after. I was going to do the same thing. Why don't you go first, supporting your PJ, and I'll second supporting my CEO.
I make the motion that we follow the recommendation and for this year only use a combination of population and workload, and that next year, being true to our workload-based allocation desire, that next year we would start with workload for the allocation methodology.
Second.
So your recommendation is to adopt all three of the recommendations by this subcommittee?
Correct.
Yes.
Correct? Mary Beth.
I support that. I just wanted a clarifying question with respect to the workload. I'm a little, and I don't know that, I just want to know for future purposes as to your committee will do the, put together the workload measures and the workload studies and come up with that, or will it somehow be incorporated into WAFM, or do you see that as kind of a staged process for now? It'll be with you and eventually in WAFM? I'm just curious.
You're required to get the statistics. There's the legislature, if you'll remember, put into the AB 109 requirements, Penal Code Section 13155, and it requires that we gather the statistics. We now have a method of doing that. So my understanding is that staff will be getting the statistics from all the courts, put it together for the subcommittee to look at, and then the subcommittee will say, okay, these statistics that you've gathered, what are they? Are these petitions? Are these cases? And the subcommittee will be actually giving some direction as to what constitutes a petition.
Okay. So it'll stay. It'll stay with the committee.
That's my hope. That stays with the committee.
Wanted to make sure the distinction was there that it's staying with you, but it will be treated similar to WAFM as far as a methodology.
Exactly. Goes. That's our hope. Okay. Our hope is that once we get the petitions, that we use the methodology from WAFM to distribute the money.
Okay. And then my second question just was for any unspent monies that the trial courts would get to receive. Do we have a fund balance problem with those or not?
as I understand it, that money is not protected under the exemption for the fund balance. So,
you mean for the individual court or for the $130,000 that's left
for the individual courts?
Right.
So I would suspect that all courts will plan it extremely well in making sure that. Those funds are not subject to that cap restriction.
Okay, maybe I'm not tracking. If they're unspent funds, it sounded like they didn't plan well enough and they didn't spend them, so they are at risk.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Is there any mechanism by which if a court just, you know, was ramping up and wasn't fully ramped up and that's why that those monies could be identified and held for them for the next year so that they aren't exposed to losing it, the risk of losing it?
You know, I got to be honest with you. I can't conceive of a court that's still ramping up. We
okay.
started in 2011. The parole hearings were received. You had to be ready to take the parole hearings in July of 2012. I mean, how long does it take? We took
that. Sometimes what happens in smaller courts is you have an absence or something, and there's something that's not getting done, and things don't get spent. But I think what I'm hearing you say is you don't think there's a likelihood of there being unspent monies.
That's our thought.
Presumption.
So, Judge Clay, that's my question. Under the workload method, is there a cutoff date when the courts have to report to you to let you know and to factor in the number of cases, petitions that qualify? Because the scenario is you got a cutoff date. If they fail to report and you've done your analysis, you've allocated the money to these other courts, and they're sorry out of luck because they failed to get this information.
I think that's what's going to happen in the future. What happened last year is we said, well, we couldn't do this because we didn't have the statistics. Staff told us that they wouldn't get the statistics that we could work on this year until October, and the fastest that we could start looking at them was mid-December. Well, in December, we were looking at the stats. And so I think that they're on top of getting the stats to us, and I agree with you, Don. If a court doesn't give us the information, we're going to do the distribution. So when they ask you for the information, my suggestion is you get it to them, because we're going to fund based on the information we receive. And that's what we're going to bring back to the whole committee. We're going to say, here's what the information we got. And what happened last time is some courts came in late and said, guess what, we got these, we didn't know it. And we had that little bit of reserve that we could help them with. Hopefully we'll still have that little bit of reserve.
And that's the follow-up, David. So if you do that, and if you do have that little bit of reserve, they're going to be limited to potentially the reserve, because once you distribute it to the other courts,
That's exactly right.
I had Mike Planet and then Sherry.
So comparing this to the Dependency Council situation, these funds are statutorily restricted to for this purpose?
No.
The only difference is that that money is distributed rather than you submit for reimbursement. And because it's a reimbursed cost, then any reserve would be protected in the trial court trust fund. But because it's distributed to the trial courts, it would not be.
But in this case, this is just a general fund. It was added to our general fund appropriation.
So it's not like the Dependency Council.
Right. And this is we allocate the funds, they have it, versus a reimbursement of costs. But we have been tracking, and we know, about these funds, and in terms, that's how we know why we have a reserve, because it was the unallocated amount out to the trial courts. Once it gets to the trial court, then it's within each court's fund to track and maintain.
They will tell us as soon as we start to exceed the money that they got for AB 109.
Judge Good.
I'm just trying to understand the measure that you rejected. It says that in columns E and F, you're looking at funds requested by the courts to cover realignment expenditures for the first half of FY 2013-14, as opposed to measuring workload for the first quarter. And I'm wondering what drives columns E and F, if you know, that there's a disparity between the first quarter workload and the first half expenditures, such that some courts that say they need money based on what they've been expending wouldn't be getting it based on just a quarter's workload.
Well, one of the issues that we were trying to reconcile was courts were asked to respond to the survey without having a lot of the details. So a lot of the information that we received were estimates based on population alone. And so that doesn't necessarily correlate with an actual petition that's being filed with the court. So those estimates that were coming in, courts like Santa Clara, we were contemplating having to hire a hearing officer just for the purpose of this. We've been able to cobble together resources both by judges that are sitting on our bench and also assigned judges to help us get through this, because at the beginning we weren't seeing the volume. We had heard that it was going to ramp up extremely quickly. Well, it didn't come to fruition. So some of the estimates were difficult to nail down, and that's one of the reasons why we had looked more specifically at the petitions, et cetera, that were coming into the courts.
Because I know anecdotally the first quarter was slow to ramp up, right? in our court, but it's ramped up now, but the cost is embedded.
Right.
Since you're measuring it only based on the first quarter, I'm wondering if we have the second quarter data to use too. Do we just not have those data?
I don't think we have it completed. That's the problem. And it's been a moving target, and you put your finger right on it. This is why it's been so difficult, I think, for everybody. And that's why we keep saying when we get the statistics for 1 year, but remember, we're measuring two things, both of which started up at different places. They ramped up at different times. It's more complex than this. I actually think the post-release community supervision cases are going to go down, and the parole cases are going to go up. Hmm. And if I was going to look at this for the future, that's what I would expect to see. And in Los Angeles, we got a lot more petitions than we ever thought we would. So I think that's why we're waiting to see all of the results by July of next year. You put your finger right on what the problem is. It's a moving target.
Judge Masanaga.
Could I just ask a clarifying question? You said that the statistic or the reporting is collected through the AOC staff, through the courts, and I guess following through with Judge Clay's question. So the courts have a regular process by which they're supposed to be reporting to the AOC about their post-release community service or the parole revocation. So really we need to make sure that our courts are reporting it properly because you have that collection procedure set up with the AOC.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And like I say, it was the realignment data was required to be collected under Penal Code Section 13155. That was one of the tasks that was given to the committee back in 2011-12 is to come up with a formula for getting that data. And they actually came up with a formula for capturing actual cost and also the data for the petitions. We just don't have all the petition data in yet.
Judge Johnson.
Just one more thought. If the problem is the moving target aspect of this, and we are basing our allocations on workload experience, we're projecting based on that, and it is changing qualitatively and quantitatively, and there's the prospect that money being unprotected in our reserves, if it isn't spent, would be lost, would it be useful to maybe ask the subcommittee to think in the future about a way to return unspent money so that it would go into that reserve to be reallocated back to those courts that weren't fully funded?
In the future,
I know that some counties just don't even have a prayer of getting fully funded for the extra workload that's imposed by this legislation.
That's something that we had considered as well, maybe allocating the money on a quarterly basis, perhaps, so it coincides. That's something that I think this body can consider in recognition of the restrictions that we have with the fund balance. So we can certainly look at that. The other thing that hopefully we can look at is as we start to get greater experience in the processing of these cases, we'll be able to get a better idea of actually how much it costs. And clearly, my belief is that we're going to be short on money. These cases will continue to grow, so we'll have to be very cognizant of having a mechanism to report the need for additional funding as well. So all of those variables, I think, are part of some of the things that we're taking into consideration, but very good point in terms of the allocation solution.
Yeah, I just hate the idea of losing the money because it's not protected when others could use it.
So, okay. Judge Wesley, isn't there also an issue as we go forward whether or not that's going to be funded, realignment?
I can't answer you. I don't know what the governor's going to do. But, I mean, they indicated that this was the funding for AB 109. I think we're preparing to go to the DOF with the BCP for additional funding if we need it. Am I right? I think that funding will be there. This is something that they dumped it on the courts, and they said they're going to fund it, so they're going to have to do that.
Sherry?
I've heard some concern expressed about losing the money because of the 1% cap, and that leads me to ask a question that's somewhat related. Any amount over the 1% cap appears that it will come back and be managed by the council. And I'm assuming because that is trial court trust fund money that any use of that money above the 1% would come to this committee for allocation. And so if it appears that there are courts that, you know, that need money for that, I'm assuming that anything over that 1%, ideas would be presented to this trial court, you know, to this budget committee, since it is trial court trust fund money, and that we would have some say in how that money is allocated back out to the courts. So that's kind of an assumption I'm making because it is trial court trust fund money, but is that a correct assumption?
This is so new to us. We haven't had a chance to work that whole process
through. It does make sense mm-hmm. because it is trial court trust money right. coming, you know, to the state level, so it would, it, you know, that would certainly be my assumption. But
yeah, no, that process is consistent with what the administration has stated in their 8 pages, their budget summary about the process. So that's how they envision it, is that it comes back to the council for unmet needs and priorities of the branch, which right. emanate from these groups and go to the council. Judge Good?
Is there a reason that we have to do this now if we're relying on only first quarter data and some courts are saying they may have a ramp-up problem? Wouldn't we make a more rational decision if we waited till later in the year and used more data to more fairly allocate this based on workload? I'm just a little concerned that we're making a decision now based on partial data when we could have more data later, unless there's some reason to do it now. And if there is, I just don't know what that is, and I'm asking.
We didn't pick the timing. I mean, we were, as a subcommittee, we were told come back on this at this time with a recommendation. So it wasn't. We didn't pick the timing of it. Courts were saying, when are we going to get the money? They're doing the work now, and they were only funded for the first half of the year, so I don't know where they're going to get the funding for the second half of the year if we don't do something now. I mean, you can go around the table and see what the feeling is. I mean, we're doing the work now, and we've only been funded for the first half of the year.
Judge Walsh? So
well, I think Judge Wesley is right. Also, we have to plan. We have enough uncertainties approaching the end of this fiscal year. Are we going to be stuck with 1%? I hear that Assembly Speaker Perez says he's going to help us fight against the 1%. There's all sorts of uncertainties, and this is just one more build into it. And because it's an ongoing process, we can always adjust next year. Some court got overfunded. We could take that into account next year if we wanted to, I assume.
Yeah. Essentially, in terms of timing, is I think we understood that we were going to have data problems when we even made this recommendation, but the waiting, is Judge Walsh is correct, is that at some point you need to get the money out based on what you know, and everybody just has to do the best they can given the circumstance. We have a lot of moving parts with the budget and your workload, and so I think coming back at this early point gave them understand they could plan for the rest of their fiscal year and what they would do with the rest of their fund balances. I mean, ideally, we'd have all the data now, and we would know what to do. But this is the best we can, and the idea of moving quickly is more, you know, sort of a higher level than waiting another quarter to get money, because then you wouldn't be allocating until, you know, May and June, and then what would you have done? How would you have adjusted your fund balance expenditures?
Okay. Any other discussion before I call the question? There is a motion that's been seconded to adopt all three recommendations that Judge Wesley and David have brought to us today. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?